believe in the possibility of kindness. And that doesn't mean that we have to always be kind and sweethearted and perfect and gentle in every moment. Everyone's going to get angry, frustrated, and judgmental at some point. But if we default back to believing in the possibility of kindness, the idea that maybe this interaction will work out, maybe this podcast will result in a good conversation, maybe somebody's going to be listening to this and actually they're going to like what I have to say and what we have to share, rather than be critical of us and think that we're ridiculous, whatever it might be that seeps into your brain, if we can default to believing in the possibility of kindness, it opens up possibility with people we work with. It opens up possibility for ourselves to achieve the things we want to achieve. It creates immense possibilities.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth, going strong today, like six-pack abs, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in, and today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, because my goodness, we got a best-selling author in the building, y'all. That's right, indeed. Brick by brick and stone by stone, man's creating one heck of a life indeed. Because not only has he joined the business of immortality by becoming an author, he's also an international keynote speaker that's in high demand, as well as a nonprofit leader, film producer, and social theorist. Let's give it up for the G to the B, the one, the only, Greg Benick. How you doing today, Greg?
I'm doing really well, and I love the intro. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Yes, right indeed. Well, I guess using one of the better parts of the show before the rabbit holes appear.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love the fact that you mentioned the immortality when it comes to writing a book, because anytime you do a podcast or write a book or any such thing, there's a piece of that. There's a piece of that immortality which is seeping into your brain and making the thing that you're doing all the more alluring. Like, I love that. That's true. You know, the fact that this book exists means that I will continue to exist on some level even after I'm gone. So I love it. Thank you for noticing that.
Thank you indeed. One of the main taglines of the show, you know, highlighting folks who join the business of immortality. It's like, hey, write a book, put it out into the world, you know. That's right indeed. Let folks read it for like ever. Yeah. That's right indeed. In your case, many moments indeed. But hey, before we jump into the taste of resistance of your wonderful Reclaim the Moment book, my goodness, as with all introductions, they tend to forget some cavities metaphorically, so mind filling in any I may have missed about you, my man?
Sure. I mean, you know, author, sure, and speaker, yes, and striving for immortality at all times, probably. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, I think that, you know, I've made my living throughout my life connecting with and entertaining people, so it's been a fun ride, and I've gotten to go around the world and do that, which is really meaningful and has always been fun. So I just love and have loved connecting with people this entire time. I did my first presentations when I was 13. So it's been a wild ride and a long one too. So my whole life has been spent speaking and listening to human beings. So I'm happy to be here with you and continuing that tradition right now. It's great.
Good times indeed. And if my memory serves correct, were you part of a rock band too?
Yeah, I played in a band. I played in a band called Trial. We played for years and years and years. We're actually playing June 1st, depending on when people hear this and see it, June 1st, 2025 in Detroit. It's the first show that we played in about 8 years, and it's going to be a big one. It'll be a lot of fun. There'll be tons of people. There are lots of bands, of course, on the bill, but there'll be about 3,000 people there, and I'm pretty happy for it. We haven't played since 2018, and before that, it was probably 2015, 2013. So we don't play that often anymore, but yeah, hardcore punk band. It's been really fun to do.
Oh, shoot. Getting the band back together. He's on a mission from God. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's right, D.
All yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, when we play, you know, it's not even just, you know, rock for the sake of rock or screaming for the sake of screaming. It's you know, like social and psychological theory in a punk band all in one. So there's a lot of feeling and emotion that goes into it, and it's going to be a good time. It always is. It's always intense and at the same time structured and meaningful and also wild. It's got all of it. So it's good.
Ah, me luck indeed. So what got you into punk rock? Because I heard your first ever concert you went to was a Lionel Richie concert.
That's right. That's a good story. Well, and I'll tell the Lionel Richie story first. My mom let me at age 12, maybe, can't remember, pick any concert that I wanted to go to. And I had a choice. I had a choice of a number of different shows at the time, ranging from Gods of Metal to Kings and Queens of Pop. I figured I would pick the one that my mom would like the best. So I chose Lionel Richie with Tina Turner opening. And at the time, I had no idea what I was getting into other than the radio hits of Lionel Richie at the time. And to this day, it's one of the greatest and worst choices I ever made because I missed out on seeing some metal gods. But I got to see Tina Turner walk out on stage and say to an audience, this is a song I've only played once before. It's called What's Love Got to Do With It, and played that song. And it was mind-boggling. I still remember her on stage and being 13, whatever I was, years old, in awe of how powerful and awesome she was. So, yeah, seeing Tina Turner live, incredible. She opened for Lionel Richie that night. And, then the Lionel was Lionel. We loved it at the time. Everyone went completely berserk. So, but punk rock came about because I grew up in a small town, and I've always been attracted to weird, unusual, and different human beings. And there were weird, unusual, different human beings who were hanging out in my school. And they were listening to music that was weird, unusual, and different. And I gravitated toward that. And they introduced me to the music. I happened to grow up, being as that I was in Connecticut near a club called the Anthrax, which was second only to CBGB's in terms of its notoriety and fame in the punk world. So I started going to shows at the Anthrax and got to see iconic bands in the smallest of environments in terms of this club that held 300 people. It was pretty fantastic to see these bands in that environment at that age, totally instrumental in terms of making it, you know, in terms of making an impact on me. It was great.
Me lucky indeed. It's Red D. Sounds like a man's got a wonderful eclectic taste in music, which is freaking awesome. Those are the best taste I have when it comes to music. Is freaking universal, and being able to see both Tina Turner and Lionel Richie shoot in their primes,
oh my gosh,
no less. Like, dude, it's probably one heck of an experience.
It was incredible. I mean, and the thing is, sure, we could celebrate all the artists that are out today, and we can celebrate all the artists throughout time. But seeing an artist in their prime at that exact moment, that was exactly when to see Lionel Richie. And I mean, you know, Tina Turner, that might be arguable, right? You know, a generation or two or three before us might suggest that her prime was, you know, was earlier maybe in her career, because that's what they're used to seeing. But I think that commercial success era for Tina Turner was where it was at. What's Love Got to Do With It? I mean, international, universal hit. It was so fantastic to watch her just claim the stage. And it was amazing, truly an amazing experience. But yeah, eclectic for sure. I mean, you know, let's recognize, you know, the fact that music takes so many forms and can impact us in so many forms. From, you know, it could be anything. It could be Mozart. It could be you name it. You name whatever, you know. I mean, Public Enemy, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, one of the greatest records of all time. However, you know, Bach cello suites, some of the greatest recordings of all time. We can go so many different directions and explore music as powerful, regardless of what we normally listen to. There's so much more to experience in the world. But yeah, eclectic for sure.
Well, there you go, the vitamin E we need, indeed. That's right, D's right, indeed. So my goodness, this is coming out in March of this freaking year. It's usually Women's History Month. I know you're a mama's boy like me, said you love your mother very much. So is there a big leadership lesson that you learned from her that you still apply to your life today?
Oh yeah, my mom, it continues to be amazing. And what makes my mom amazing is her willingness to connect with anyone at any time, under any conditions, She puts herself out there and does it, and she takes huge risks. And one thing that I've talked about, not on many podcasts actually, but I posted about it recently, was that my mom taught school in inner city Philadelphia in the 1960s. And she was in a situation in the school that she was in where she was up against a lot of bureaucratic intensity. And they told her, you can't do this, you can't do that. The kids are too intense. They're not gonna appreciate it if you try this. Don't even give of yourself any more than you have to based on the job. And what she decided to do was push the limits anyway. And she would do these assembly shows where she would get the kids together and read them poetry and read them short stories. And she would do these field trips where she would bring kids to the zoo. And these are all students who had never been out of their neighborhood. They'd never had anybody read them poetry before. My mom's reading poetry and connecting with these students and connecting with kids. That willingness to put yourself out there and that willingness to share of yourself and actually connect with other people and really make a connection, that's a leadership lesson right there. I mean, it's monstrous. She's amazing, continues to be, and anyone who interacts with her sees it. So the lesson in a sentence or less is put yourself out there and connect and just meet new people, meet weird, unusual, fascinating, you know, fantastic, intellectual, ridiculous, whatever it might be, people, and just see where the points of connection are. Because there's always, always, always going to be points of connection.
Points of connection, indeed. You'll love to see it. A great example, indeed. It's like, hey, thinking outside the metaphorical box. That's right, indeed. Getting folks out of their comfort zones, right, indeed. Getting them to the good side of being uncomfortable and expanding their brains that way. It's like, hey, it's a stretch for a lifetime, indeed. So you'll love to see it, indeed. So my goodness, man, what helped you to finally, I'd say, get the discipline and set aside the time to finally write your wonderful book, Reclaim the Moment, my man?
So I'll share a story with you that, again, I don't share very often, but I'm happy to connect. I like the vibe of your podcast and sharing some unusual stories. I had met somebody about 6-7 years ago or so. And in meeting her through a mutual friend, she had heard that I was working on a book, totally separate project that I'm still working on. And she said, oh, wow, if I used to be in book publishing. If I ever get back into it, I'll let you know. And it was the kind of thing where if somebody said, Dom, I'll be in your town next August, let's have lunch. You go, okay. And then you see if it happens or not. Well, I thought exactly that. If she gets back into book publishing, I mean, that's not something that happens every day. So about 2 years ago or so, after not talking for years and years, probably 5 years or something, 6 years had gone by, she got in touch with me and she said, hey, I went to your website and I saw this Build a Better Now as a slogan of yours with your keynote speaking. She said, I just got a job in acquisitions at Wiley Publisher. Would you be interested in submitting a book proposal about your Build a Better Now idea? I mean, this is ridiculous. This never happens. This would be like if you and I are talking and all of a sudden somebody pings us on our phone and it's Sony Records saying, hey, how about you two form a band and you're signed? It just never happened. So I said, what do I need to do? She said, you need a book proposal to me by Friday. This was on a Tuesday. This is unheard of. This doesn't make any sense. So I called anyone I knew who had done a book proposal before and put a book proposal together and submitted it. And after submitting it, the following Tuesday, she called me back. She said, I brought it to the powers that be and you've got yourself a book deal. So that was that's the book that became the book. Like literally this book exists, published by Wiley, available all over the planet because I met somebody and they followed through with what they said they were going to do and got in touch when they had the right time and the right moment to do so to help me out. So they helped me and they've since moved on from Wiley. It was kind of like they came in, signed me, signed a couple people, went away. And here we are. I've got a book on this incredible publisher. And because I had a book and because I had the deal, I had to write the book. And Wiley is well known for pushing its authors hard. And basically I signed.
Oh, yeah.
And their response was great. First 20,000 words are due in 6 weeks or whatever it was. So then you just have to do it. You just have to do it.
Hey, congrats, man. That's freaking amazing. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. Talk about planting seeds and digging your well before you're thirsty. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It was great. I mean, I never anticipated. I didn't expect it. I didn't expect that I would, I didn't expect that I have that book. I didn't expect that I have a book deal at all. And I certainly didn't expect Wiley. But, it just came about because somebody did what they said they were going to do. How many times do we say things like that? Oh, yeah, I'll call you. Oh, yeah, I'll send you a text. Oh, yeah, let's have dinner sometime. But then do we really follow through? And she did. And it changed my life. I mean, I've been, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, right? If it wasn't for that following through. And who knows where somebody listening to this will then follow through with something and it'll change somebody else's life that you and I will never meet or know about. That's what's interesting to me. That's what makes all this awesome, is just the fact that we never know when we follow through and do the thing, we never know where the impact's going to end up. So very cool.
Ah, cool indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. So my goodness, man, out of the book's out and you struck it rich metaphorically indeed with basically getting Wiley to publish your book. Like, that's a 200 plus year old publishing house, man. That's freaking awesome, man. Like, any plans for another book that you got cooking in your brain somewhere?
Well, I was writing a biography on a cultural anthropologist, a guy named Ernest Becker. He wrote a book called The Denial of Death. And his book is about fear of death on a subconscious level and how it impacts our behavior. He was really interested in why we treat each other so poorly and why we're so violent, yeah, as human beings. And he wrote a lot about how our quest for self-esteem and our fear of our own mortality influence our behaviors. So I've been writing and working on his biography for quite a while. It's kind of an academic undertaking, but I'm excited to bring it to readers in a way that makes it more accessible. So yes, that within the next year or so, that'll be a thing. But writing a book is no joke. I mean, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm saying that to anybody who's ever thought about it as an invitation. Here's what I did. I shut off my phone, shut off social media. I shut off contact from everybody except my closest family members. And then every spare second I had, beyond things that I had to do. I mean, let's be realistic. We can't stop feeding our kids or going to work, whatever it might be. But for me, you know, given as that I don't have kids and, you know, I wasn't at the time, you know, doing a ton of keynotes, I was in front of my computer all day, every day, 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day. Now, it doesn't take that in order to write a book, but it takes that in part to write a book. And what I'm saying to your listeners and viewers is consider taking 90 minutes a day, 9 minutes a day, whatever you can spare, and shutting it all down and putting that time into the book. Because 9 minutes a day times 300 days is a book. 9 minutes, 90 minutes a day times 100 days is a book. Like, you can make it happen. So if you've got the dream and the desire, you can definitely make it work. I need to apply myself once again and do that again if I'm going to write another book, because the first one was a challenge. It was a big challenge, but I'm glad I got it done.
Heck indeed, and congrats indeed. And shoot, my goodness, and the book mentions 7 strategies. So is there one major strategy that sticks out a little further than the others in the way you live out your life and help out folks in business?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to sound like I've said the wrong thing, but the first one in the book is believe in the possibility of kindness. And that doesn't mean that we have to always be kind and sweethearted and perfect and gentle in every moment. Everyone's going to get angry, frustrated, and judgmental at some point. But if we default back to believing in the possibility of kindness, the idea that maybe this interaction will work out, maybe this podcast will result in a good conversation, maybe somebody's going to be listening to this and actually they're going to like what I have to say and what we have to share, rather than be critical of us and think that we're ridiculous, whatever it might be that seeps into your brain, if we can default to believing in the possibility of kindness, it opens up possibility with people we work with. It opens up possibility for ourselves to achieve the things we want to achieve. Believing in the possibility of kindness to escape the trap of pessimism is the first chapter, the first strategy of the book. And it's huge, because pessimism wins all the time. We don't go to the gym. We don't do this. We think we can't do that. We're too this. We're too little of that. But if we believe in the possibility of kindness towards ourselves and towards other people, it creates immense possibilities. So that's true for leaders, teammates, followers, communicators, what have you. It's true for all of us. We have to believe in the possibility of kindness.
Ah, you love to see it indeed. Believe in the possibility of kindness too. It's right indeed. So any moments of kindness that stick out to you that really helped you in your current journey to the gig that you are today, since you believe in the possibility of it?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I would say that over the course of my life, there's been a number of times where people have been surprisingly kind to me. But there's one guy in particular, a guy named John Wilson. John Wilson is a professor of mine in college. And I went to a very unusual college, very small arts college here in Seattle, Washington, and a college that's always struggled. It's not even like a sophisticated and successful arts college. It's a small college. It's always had some challenges. But John, during a time when this college was paying its teachers less than any other college, I think, in the country, was still devoted to his students. And what he did was he went so far above and so far beyond in terms of his generosity and his kindness and sharing his intellectual power, I guess you'd say, with us, that it left an impact that my classmates and I, 30 years later, we still talk about him. And I am still friends with him. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I'll hopefully see him this week. It's like, still, his kindness came in the form of listening, and it came in the form of meeting people at their level, even though he was massively smarter than we were, meeting people at their level and just listening and paying attention and being generous with himself. It was hugely important to me and really instrumental in how I, you know, learned to interact with the world. And yes, we all make mistakes. We're always going to mess up. We're going to be quick to anger. We're going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. But John most definitely taught me that we default to generosity and incredible connections can happen. So I would say John Wilson, for sure, the greatest genius you've never heard of until now.
Ah, good times indeed. Good times indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. So indeed, the power, y'all, of being kind indeed. That's right indeed. Have folks talking about it 30 plus years later. That's right indeed. That's a good thing indeed, if not a great thing indeed. So my goodness, man, since you're going on a bit of a tour promoting the wonderful work that you're doing on these podcasts, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Yeah, I think that, you know, people don't ask enough about what, one thing you've touched on already, right? You've touched on, what was it like writing the book, and or what does it take to write a book, or how did it come about that you wrote the book? I think that, you know, people all the time will ask, you know, okay, well, what are some of the chapters? Sure. And I can tell you, keep your eyes on the knife is a chapter. It's a juggling metaphor. If you've got two beanbags and a knife, where are you going to keep your focus? And I hope it would be on the knife, right? I could talk about focus and keep your eyes on the, and I could talk about all the ideas in the book. But I like talking about the idea that it was really challenging to write. And it started out with a blank piece of paper. And I was literally staring at a blank piece of paper. I had no idea what I was going to do. And everyone was telling me, it's in your head, it's in your heart, you've got this. And what I ended up doing was driving out to Eastern Washington. I live in Seattle, and about 3 hours east. I drove about 2.5-3 hours east and turned around, started my way back, took my iPhone and hit record on an audio recording and just started talking. And that talking for 2.5 hours, sometimes saying brilliant things, sometimes saying things that made no sense whatsoever, became the first 16,000 words of my book. And granted, I would say chapter one, chapter two, and then just talk. And some of those things didn't end up in the book. Some literally didn't make sense. Me just rambling. But I didn't let myself shut up for 2.5 hours. That was an amazing exercise in terms of getting ideas out there. So I wish people would ask me a little more often about the creation side of the book rather than the content side. Because the content side, you can certainly read about on my website or on Amazon, wherever you happen to buy books, or where, you know, the information's out there. But me driving by myself back from Eastern Washington, talking to myself for 2.5 hours, that's the side of things that doesn't come up very often. That was pretty interesting.
Heck yeah, shoot. That's the beauty of today's society, man. Like, we got so many tools to make success happen a lot quicker for you. And for folks who thought it would be like out of their reach, it's like, dude, it's in your reach. In today's society, we got so many tools out there indeed. Well, it's actually on top of that too, like, you actually even read the book too, which I freaking appreciate. It's always great when folks read their own books so folks can take it on the go. So how was that experience like? Was that like training for the Olympics, even though you're a wonderful keynote speaker?
It was unreal. So I'll set up the situation for listeners, in that when you put out a book, you don't necessarily get an audio book with it. It all depends on the publishing deal. So in my situation, the rights to the audio version were sold to a company that does audiobooks. And I was excited. I was like, great, I get to read my own book. And they're like, hold on. No, we're going to decide who reads your book. And I was like, I'm going to read my book. And they said, no, 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 you have to basically audition to read your own book. So I did. I sent in a demo. Now, the demo that I sent in, they said, yeah, we just need you reading into an iPhone. They just wanted to make sure that my voice sounded okay. I did not send in an iPhone demo. I went into a studio. I sent in a video demo of me. The background was like me in this like almost like living room speaking as if I was speaking to you, just sitting casually in a living room somewhere. It was a really high-end demo that some friends of mine, thankfully, recorded for free. But I sent in this demo and got selected to read my own book. Okay. I fly to New York City, where the studio was. And the studio is about the size of, I don't know, a small bathroom, maybe smaller. Meaning you're in a room that's like 3 feet by 5 feet. You've got two things in the room, microphone in front of your face, and an iPad right in front of you where the book is. And as you read and scroll along, you're getting recorded by a guy sitting outside of that soundproof room. Well, how long does it take to read a book that's this thick? It takes 3 days, 10 hours a day, because what happens is you start off by saying, hi, I'm Greg Burnett. I'm sorry, I messed up my own name. Could we go back? You make mistakes like that constantly. Mess up your own name. You mess up your own reading. You read a sentence with the wrong word. 10 hours a day for 3 days, and then there's the recording. And it's wild to sit in a room and only listen to yourself for 3 days. It's kind of bizarre. So it worked out, though. It was great. I've been really happy with the audio version, and people have been telling me they've been listening to it, so I'm very happy about that. But it was a wild experience, regardless of my experience being on stage. Talking to yourself for 3 days was a whole completely different phenomenon.
Oh, you're so right about that. Yes, indeed. Because I always invite folks to share that story if they record their own book, too, especially no matter if it's their own home studio or a studio with a company. And it was good you put out the fact that you had to audition for your own book, because it's like, dude, what the hell? Like, I wrote this thing. Like, come on now. It's me here, y'all. It's Greg. Come that's on. It's GB. Right. It's like Green Bay. You're a Green Bay fan? It's like, no, I like the Ravens. Oh, crap. Well, yeah, come on. Greg Bennett. Come on. I'm a good guy. Come on. Give me a chance here.
Yeah. And they their position was, we have to make sure. And, you know, it makes sense, right? If my reading voice was unusual, if it didn't, you know, sound right to them, that's fair. But I'm just glad I got the gig. If it had been anybody else reading the story of my parents meeting or my brother and I fighting when we were kids, it just wouldn't make sense. And all that's in the book. So there you go.
Yeah, it's true indeed. It's true indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Reclaim the Moment, 7 Strategies to Build a Better Now, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Well, okay, so here's where I default. I've been on a mission the last few weeks to go to the gym, to eat right, all that sort of thing, and it's been going well, but I miss Thai food. I'm wild about Thai food. I love it dearly, and all I can think of is it would be a plate of Thai food, but that's only because I'm really hungry for Thai food, because I've been eating salads and drinking really wholesome juices and, you know, eating vegan as I have for 35 years, but eating some really wholesome whole foods for the last few weeks. So a plate of Thai food sounds really good. But I would say, if this book was a food, my craving for Thai food aside, wow, I can imagine it as a veggie burrito. And the reason, and a veggie burrito with guacamole on top, because it's like the veggie burritos gets, you know, as you're diving in, you're going rice, going beans and the veggies into the, you know, all the insides and the salsa and whatnot that's in there. And on top of it, there's just layers. And this book has a lot of layers. So I like the idea of layers. And I think burrito, I'm going with burrito with guacamole. It's a good question.
Yeah, first ever author guest on the show to say a veggie burrito. So hey, that's what I'm talking about indeed.
What do most people say? What foods do people equate with their books?
Oh, it varies. Funny enough, we had Joy Giovanni on the show. She mentioned her book would be rice because it's so versatile. It's like, hey, rice balls, mango rice, all the different types of rice. We had pizza for a couple others. We also had sushi for a couple others. Heck, even a recent guest at the time of this recording, she mentioned her book would be black caviar that you only get from Eastern Europe, one of those delicacies. So it runs the gamut. Heck, even flapper pie. Like, I think Tyler Foley gave that answer. I'm like, what the hell is flapper pie? Apparently it's this pie where it's a graham cracker crust and a whole bunch of sweet cream that apparently is popular in the prairies area since he's out in Canada. Yeah, right. I'm like, dude, what the heck is that, man? Like, and when they explain, I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, burrito. I'm sticking with my original and unique food answer, burrito. I like that.
Indeed. And the guac. So that means folks are going to be balling when they get this book. They're going to reclaim the moment in more than one.
Reclaim the guac.
There you go. Maybe a future a blog idea or a chapter idea. Reclaim the guac, huh?
Reclaim the guac. Well, yeah, and I'll talk. Well, in Reclaim the Guac, I'll talk about this conversation and unexpected questions and how they lead to great conversations. And yeah, reclaim. There's a blog idea. I'm gonna write down. Reclaim the guac. I like that idea.
Heck yeah, folks are like, dude, yeah. If you're balling, if your finances are good, it means you can get the. If I'm not mistaken, the guac at Chipotle or something. So it's like, oh. Works out perfectly that way. It's like, yeah, you get the guac too with this one, my friends.
With the burrito,
that's right, indeed.
You do.
That's for, yeah, my man Greg has got the mighty G. That's right, the guac. It's the G bringing you the G.
Absolutely.
Man. Well, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would say stay the course. And what I mean by that is 25-year-old Greg, just like any other age, questioned himself as to whether or not what he was doing was valid, vital, important, meaningful, or real. And I often start comparing myself to other people. Is what I'm doing important enough and meaningful enough that it'll be compared to some person who's doing so much more? Like, you know, take a singer. You know, if there's a singer and she's working on her singing and she compares herself to Taylor Swift, she's always going to feel less than, right? But if she compares herself to herself and strives to, you know, be on that leaderboard per se and be her versus her rather than her versus Taylor Swift, it's going to work out amazingly well that way. And I think that I would tell myself, stay the course. Instead of questioning yourself and getting off course, questioning yourself and stopping, questioning yourself and taking a break, stay the course. You're on the right track. Keep going with the punk rock, the writing, the speaking, whatever it might be, just stay the course. Don't get diverted by other people's opinions. Don't get diverted by the critics. Don't get diverted by the people who think less of you. Stay the course.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Indeed, stay the course. You heard that right, folks. That's right, indeed. You heard that right, folks. That means, so that also means buy a bunch of copies of Dom Brightman's book, Stay the Course, the Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. After you buy 50 copies of Greg's wonderful book, Reclaim the Moment, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right. We both got 7 wonderful strategies, y'all. That's right, indeed. All the strategies, keys. That's right, indeed. So many keys, you're going to need more than Alicia keys. You're going to need Alicia and her piano, y'all. That's right, indeed. All the keys, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed.
All the keys and all the guac.
There you go. All the keys and all the guac. See, there you go. That's right. When you buy Greg's book, you'll have the key to more guacamole in your life. That's right.
You will. You absolutely will. Because the thing is, when we focus and create space for possibility, it's up to you to figure out. And, you know, in the book, I ask people to get in touch with me when they create something with the space that they've created as a result of the strategies. And hopefully they'll create a new guacamole recipe. In fact, since I've never talked about guacamole in a podcast, if anybody writes me about guacamole, we know exactly where it came from. These listeners, this podcast right here, right now, Reclaim the Guac.
Boom. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So for the folks who need to do just that and also snag copies of your magical book in multiple forms, what's the best way for folks to do so, Greg?
Well, I mean, people can go to gregbennick.com, GREGBENNICK.com. Of course, the book's available on Amazon.com and also, you know, Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore can get it. They might not have it in stock. So that's important to note is that if you're Stephen King, your book's in stock everywhere. If you are whomever as a writer. But, you know, a friend of mine in Reykjavik, Iceland, walked into a bookstore and said, can you get Greg Bennick's Reclaim the Moment? And they said, yeah, we can get that. Unbelievable. That's good enough for me. So any bookstore can get it. Amazon, of course, has it. And then, you know, gregbennick.com is my website. You can learn more there. Get in touch with me through there or on Instagram @GregBennick. Again, spelled the same way. LinkedIn, be in touch any of those ways. Tell me a new guacamole recipe. Add an ingredient I've never even considered, and let's chow down. Let's do that.
That's right, indeed. Sounds like your father. Looks like the side effect kicked in of guesting on the show. Man's probably hungry now.
Good stuff. I like it. Well, yeah, as I'm telling you, I've been craving Thai food. I mean, I was at the gym this morning. I'm like, oh man, you know, Greg 1.0 would be waking up in the morning thinking about where he was going to eat that day. Greg 2.0 is waking up in the morning thinking, oh, I wonder if I could go to the gym today. I wonder if I can get an exercise in before whatever happens at 9 o'clock. Like, who is this guy? But it's good. I'm feeling better. I like it.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed, sir. That's right, folks. Greg 2.0. My man's got a boat load of content, and he only share probably only metaphorically 1% of what he freaking knows, indeed. So be sure to keep in contact with him. Cop some copies of his magical book and share it with your family, friends, cat, dog, penguin. Heck, maybe even someone out in Iceland, indeed, because it sounds like it's cold as ice. It's ice cold, baby. That's right, indeed. It's good stuff. That's right, indeed. In this case, it'll be so cold, you'll be reclaiming the warm on top of it, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, my man?
Hey, I just want to thank you for being creative and original and interesting and fun. I do a lot of podcasts, and I really like when people ask me interesting questions, and the food question is one that's going to ring in my mind. I like that, and I will enjoy my next burrito with guac and think of you and your listeners. So thanks for listening, everybody, and please be in touch with me anytime. I'd love to hear about anybody's ideas about how you make it through your life and the ways that you make it through that make you feel best and make the people around you feel best too. So I'd love to hear from you anytime.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for free. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.